From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 2012 on a warm afternoon in Rochester. We're about to find out just how true the story is. I've heard it so many times over the years, and it's a great pleasure to finally welcome the woman at the center of the story. Now, here's the story as I've been told. Her name's Teresa Bowick. She was jogging through her neighborhood. Someone called out to her, accusing her of being on probation. The comment stung, an implication that if a black woman is out running in Rochester, she must be running away from the police. She continued on her jog only to come across a different kind of stereotype. Talking to some neighbors, one hinted that, is she a police officer? Why couldn't she just be a woman out for a jog? Well, as the neighbor explained, no one exercises in this neighborhood. And that is when Teresa Bowick decided to think bigger, to get the neighborhood involved. And she created the Conky Cruisers Bicycling the Better Health Voyage, asking her neighbors to become more physically fit. 3 years later, Conky Cruisers are going strong. They're getting ready to hold an event to benefit local veterans this weekend. This hour, we're going to talk about that. We'll explore a number of events and programs designed to serve veterans and caregivers. First of all, let me welcome Teresa Bowick, the cruise captain of Conky Cruisers. How are you?
I am doing fantabulous this afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to see you in person because I've heard this story, but you got to come back and correct me here. Is that roughly true? Take me back to 2012.
That's roughly true. Of course, okay. I live in a part of Rochester that you don't find on the top 10 list of places you must visit. So if you're in that neighborhood and you're jogging down the street, as I was that day, the kid yelled out to me, he's like, hey, lady, are you on probation? And of course, I'm shocked because why would you ask me that? And the child thought that I was running from the police. And like you said, indeed, I was stunned, kept on my journey, and now I'm up on Joseph Avenue, stopped to talk to some neighbors, and a gentleman walks up and tells everybody, don't talk to her. And I'm like, don't talk to me? He's like, no, don't talk to her. She's the police. I said, I am not the police. I'm a nurse. He says, don't be fooled by her and her jogging clothes. She is the police because nobody exercises in this neighborhood. And that was the catalyst to start Conky Cruisers.
Wow. Now, first of all, the stereotype that, well, black people don't jog through neighborhoods, right? I mean, I know you say you're not living in a neighborhood that's top 10 in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, what did you think when you heard that?
I thought that work needed to be done. If the image, if I have a child that sees me and a middle-aged man that I know across the lifespan that there is a message of health and wellness and physical fitness has been missed, and I saw that as an opportunity.
Okay, so what happens then? You want to create something. You want to reach out in some way. Conky Cruisers was the result, but how did you get from that jog that afternoon to Conky Cruisers?
And so I knew that I wanted to do bicycles rather than any other type of physical fitness activity because I wanted to give more than just an opportunity to get fit. And I knew that with bicycling, I could also offer an avenue for mental, physical fitness, but also an opportunity for independence and transportation. So bicycle fit the bill for all the things that I wanted to do, except I didn't have any bicycles or any money. Nor did I know even where I would run this bicycling program. So I called then City Council President Lovely Warren. I told her about my day out in the neighborhood, told her that I really needed to do something. And would she throw down some bicycle lanes on Conky Avenue? Now, who calls the City Council President and say, give me bicycle lanes in my neighborhood? Me.
And she said,
actually, we've already done a street study. The street is too small, but why don't you use the new trail we're building for your program?
Camino, right?
El Camino. And so we start this whole idea of getting the neighborhood fit with basically no resources to do it. Fast forward a few months, and now we're operating on a $1 million trail. We have bicycles, we have people, and we have a neighborhood that's engaged. And it's really funny, when I got the first donations that came in, I'm always very, very, very grateful for Excellus, who wrote that first check, that we bought the bicycles, I had no place to put them, and they were stored in my living room. The volunteers would come to my house and take the bikes out of my living room, ride them to the trail, and that's how we started the program.
That's amazing. Now, your own personal backstory, because bicycling can be quite a workout, by the way.
Absolutely.
And what sparked this whole thing was that when you were out on a jog, so you're obviously somebody who's interested in your own fitness, but I've read you've lost a lot of weight over the years.
I have, and it took some time to get there because I grew up in a family where everything was fried. I mean, my grandmother fried everything. And if you ever came to my house for dinner back in those days, you would not get your daily allowance of nutrients. There was no vitamin A, no B, no C. There wasn't an antioxidant in sight. But let me tell you, everything that the food in our house was lacking in nutritional value, my family overcompensated for in love. And so we ate and we ate and we ate, and then we realized that, wait a minute, what's happening here? Their hypertension is running rampant. Diabetes is running rampant. The cat was so big that when Vernon would go across the floor, he could like clean the floor like a Swifter. And he wanted like fried pork chops instead of nine lives, you know? And our dog was like an insulin-dependent diabetic. So it's like, okay, family, what are we going to do? We can't live like this.
But the cats don't generally eat fried food. You help.
The cat ate fried pork chops.
The cat ate fried pork chops.
Yes, he did. And he loved them.
Well, I would think.
Because it was a learned behavior. As with the other behaviors in our family, with the overeating that led to the diabetes and the hypertension, the cat just went along.
I at least love the scene of love that you're describing. Mm-hmm. A very warm and affectionate family scene.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah? And where did you grow up?
I grew up on the east side of Rochester on Arch Street. Went to East High School, and then I went away from college. Didn't turn out so well. Had to start over a couple times, but I turned out okay, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Did you ever? Everyone told me, by the way, that you're going to be amazed with Teresa. And again, I've read her story, but first time sitting down in this studio with her, and I'm already wondering, why has it taken so long for us to get together like this, Teresa?
Well, here we are now. I was actually at your book signing. And you are the template for my book signing. So after saw how you did it, then I had a book signing, and it was almost as fabulous as yours. Of course, my book is called Collard Green Curve, so I serve collard green because the foods were really good at your book signing.
See, look at this. So, kindred spirits here. We're talking to Teresa Boak, who's the cruise captain for Conky Cruisers. Started Conky Cruisers in 2012.
That is correct.
What part of 2012? Was it late in the, how long did it take you to really get moving with this?
It took basically from March to July.
Okay. All right. So
it did not take a long time. Once things really started moving, and because I didn't spend any time talking myself out of it, once I decided that this was something that needed to be done, it just happened. So I said, okay, let's roll with it. And I, you know, met with stakeholders and asked people for donations. And little by little by little, we had enough to just get started. And so we did.
Okay. And so, you know, in some ways, it feels like you're going door to door to ask people, you want to ride? You want to work out? You want to get involved?
I did. That's exactly what I did. I made a bunch of flyers and walked the neighborhood. And that first year, 112 people showed up.
Wow. What's that tell you?
It tells me that there was an unmet need in the neighborhood, that in fact, if you provide the opportunity, the access, that the people will come, that people are not doing the things that we would like them to do just because they don't want to. Perhaps they've never been given the opportunity, that there's never been an opportunity to come together and have organized physical fitness. And so we just did it, and it worked. And it worked, and it worked, and it worked again. And some of the benefits that happened because of that was open-air drug sales in our neighborhood. Remember I said the neighborhood that you don't find on the visitors list for the top 10 neighborhoods in Rochester, you must visit? Well, that was my neighborhood. So when we're out bicycling, drug dealers leave. Because, don't tell nobody I told y'all this, but you can't sell drugs with that many people watching. Somebody might call the police. The real one, not me.
So you saw a change in the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And has it been sustained?
It has been.
You
feel
like it's a better
place?
Now,
what we find is that when we're not having activities, that activity comes back. So what that tells me is that we need more activities. We need more and more activities because simple things like people out exercising is a deterrent to crime. They just cannot conduct business because too many people are there.
What do you say to people if they said to you, and I imagine some people might have said to you, I'll get out and run or I'll get out and ride a bicycle, but it's not a great neighborhood. I'm a little scared to do it.
There is 112 people typically on a given day there. So there's lots of people around. So you don't have to be alone. And one of the rules of Conky Cruisers is you never leave a Conky Cruiser behind. And so there's always safety in numbers and you're never alone on the trail. And what we've done with that is we do educational programs. And so just as we don't want a Conky Cruiser to leave another Conky Cruiser on a trail, we have a challenge where all of the young people, K through 12, have to learn the presidents of the United States. And so what we found is, and if they, this is the award they got, it was awesome. If they were able to do this, they won a limousine ride to the mall to get sneakers to go back to school. And so what we found is that the kids would help each other. And so I wanted to instill in them, look out for one another, be there for one another. And that's how we change our communities, just looking out for one another.
I imagine that cat that Swiffered the floor for you is long gone by now.
Yes.
Now, I don't know the state of the rest of your family, but what do they think about what you've done with this?
They absolutely love what I've done with Conky Cruisers. The family's on board. They support it. They're out riding bikes. At times I think I'm a little loony, but they go along for the ride.
And I hear great things about El Camino, by the way.
Beautiful.
Tell people who've never been there what that's like.
El Camino is the only urban trail, and they pulled up the old railroad tracks in Northeast Rochester that served the RG&E Service Center, laid down a beautiful urban trail. Along our trail is beautiful wall art, just a great place to come out and walk or cycle with your family. But come on out over to Northeast Rochester and check out the El Camino Trail.
Oh, that was amazing timing for you. I mean, just having this moment of realization and wanting to do something and then having the trail rolling out, that was, you know, a little divine inspiration there.
Absolutely. And Conky Cruisers were the first official users of the El Camino Trail.
Very cool. And how many Conky Cruisers now, by the way?
291 as 291. Of last season, yes.
291?
291.
Now, what do you do when it snows?
What we're doing, I'm so glad you asked, Evan. We are
That was not a planted question. I was just wondering.
We're training for the 2016 Tour de Cure. So we're actually meeting indoors. I partner with Exercise Express in Cornhill. And so we go there on Wednesday nights and we do spinning. And throughout the whole winter months, we will be cycling indoors and training and getting ourselves ready for 25 miles. That's our goal, is for our team to ride 25 miles. Now, you're thinking about people that in our particular area, high rates of diabetes, high rates of hypertension. So the idea that this group is collectively coming together to train for the next 8 months and then get out there and ride 25 miles is going to be fantastic. Fabulous.
What's the longest you've ridden in one ride?
Maybe 40.
40?
I've attempted the Missing and Exploited Kids ride. And what they do with that ride is if you can't keep up, they put you on the prison bus. And so my first attempt at it, I spent so much time on the prison bus, they should have gave me a job. I was like, gee.
It's hard, though. I mean, I'd say it's hard. I mean, I'm a runner, but I don't really bicycle just because I don't own a bicycle. And I remember going to a spinning class maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it whipped me. It really, I couldn't believe it, Teresa. It was tough.
It actually is in those sprints and the heels. And so we know that all of our riders really need to be conditioned to be able to ride for at least 3 hours.
You don't want somebody coming out like one time thinking, oh, this is great. I've heard about what Teresa's doing. And then you do it once and you think, I can't do it.
No,
I'm done.
No. And even on the trail, when the riders first come out, those first weeks in the program, some of them go, well, I haven't ridden a bike in my whole life. And they get on the bike and they can only go a short ways. And so we really kind of coach them and comfort them. By the end of the program, they can go one end of El Camino to the end 3 or 4 times in a night. And so you see that growth in 6 weeks. And so that's how we know that over the course of the next 8 months that we'll have this team ready for 25 miles.
That's so cool. You're online where?
Conky Cruisers. We are on www.conkycruisers.org.
It's such a great story. And when you think about open-air drug markets, you think about teaching kids the kind of habits that they'll carry into adulthood.
Absolutely.
I mean, can you imagine if you go back in your own childhood and you were doing something like this, it would have been different for you.
I could have saved myself a few pounds. I could have saved myself a few fat jokes. A lot of things I could have simply avoided. But it doesn't only work in kids. I was challenged by City Councilman Adam McFadden to go on a bicycle ride. And so for almost a year, I was trying to encourage him to cycle. And finally, he did with conditions. He would ride with me only if I came to his neighborhood and I came at night. And so I said, okay. He didn't know I was going to bring 25 people with me. So the Conky Cruisers and I met in Bull's Head Plaza and met the councilman and his team. It was supposed to be one ride. We rode for 10 weeks. Every Thursday night, west side of Rochester, very diverse crowd, and really just introduced cycling in another part of town.
What did the councilman say?
The councilman is now, he calls himself, he's an advocate for bicycles. He's the ambassador of bicycles, and he's lost a significant amount of weight.
Yeah, that's really great stuff. Talking to Teresa Boak, and in just a second, we're going to pivot this to talk about what Conky Cruisers is doing to help our veterans. It's Veterans Day. There's so much going on in our community, and I thought, you know, We've got to bring them in to talk about what you're doing coming up there, because you have this. You've got this community now that you've built. I mean, you can leverage this to support causes. I suppose you've got all kinds of things you can do.
Absolutely. I can even roll out the vote and choose the next president of the United States on a bicycle.
I do hope, however you're getting there, all of the Conky Cruisers are voting, but my gosh.
Well, absolutely. One of the reasons why we encourage voting, because we certainly want our members to be engaged and mm-hmm. be a part of the democratic process in the nation. But if you look at the research on voting, you'll find that communities with lower voter turnout self-report poor health.
I would assume it's connected to all kinds of poorer outcomes, worse outcomes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Boy.
You can do a lot on a bicycle. Did you know that?
Teresa Boak's here. Are you like me, by the way? I mean, like, you think about your upbringing and the foods you love to eat. And it was, I mean, it wasn't the healthiest food, but it was delicious,
fried,
right?
Everything with gravy.
Do you ever find yourself, you did 40 miles, you rode, and you think, I've earned myself a little?
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes I run to eat.
I've done that before. In fact, that's my plan for Thanksgiving.
Before I ask about the veterans, one more question, because you are such an amazing and inspiring person, and I don't say that to be trite at all. I mean, we really try to reserve those kind of editorial judgments here, but everyone told me that you are, and you really are. But you also mentioned that when you were a kid, you grew up and you had to endure some fat jokes. Now, you are a strong, confident person, mm-hmm. but did that, you know, hit you at all growing up? Did you let that sort of deflect off you, or did you hear it? Was that hard?
Oh, I heard it. I felt that it slapped my self-esteem from one side of Rochester to another. And it took me a long time to really embrace and to learn to love myself because of all those years of being basically ridiculed for being overweight.
And how do you feel now?
I feel awesome. Fantabulous is how I feel. And I wake up like this every day. And that's before the makeup, Evan, that I feel fantabulous.
Teresa, now, what's going on Saturday?
Saturday, we are presenting 50 brand new bicycles to 50 veterans. We are just excited about this opportunity. We have two veterans that are volunteers within the Conky Cruisers, our co-captain Rudolph Harris, and one of our fleet maintenance persons, Leverett Copeland, who is really hyped about the Marine's birthday yesterday because he was a Marine. And so this whole initiative, they wanted to do something, particularly after we got robbed this summer and we lost most of our bicycles in the Rochester community just came out and gave so much to us. We were looking for opportunities to give back. And this seemed idea that we would be able to honor veterans with bicycles. And we were really happy after we reached out to the Veterans Outreach Service, let me say that right, the Veterans Outreach Center, and found that veterans actually wanted bicycles, that they were excited about them. In fact, they needed bicycles. And so we identified the 50 men and women that will receive those bicycles. We're having a nice little ceremony. We're going to ride 1 mile from the Greater Rochester Vietnam Veterans Memorial to the Richards House on Cypress Street. After that ride, we're going to serve brunch to the veterans.
I love it.
So it's going to be a great day.
Now, for those who missed or sort of just heard a little bit about what Teresa's saying about when you got robbed this summer.
Yes.
Just back it up and make sure that we understand what happened. How many bicycles did you lose?
We lost 150 bicycles.
150, because you heard Teresa say earlier, when she started Conky Cruisers, for a little while, you were using your own space to hold the bicycles, but that's not the case anymore. Where did you lose the bicycles from this time?
That's not the case. We've grown over the years, and so our bicycles were stored in storage units, and they were on the trail. And I got this phone call that I needed to get over to the trail right away, that our storage units were open. And I'm thinking, oh, well, they're open. I'll just go over there and lock them back up and see what the problem is. But when I got there and they were open, everything that we had worked for was gone. It was just wiped out. All the bicycles were gone, the baby carriages. And I think about all the things we lost. Those carriages probably was the greatest loss because they represented an opportunity for so many parents to ride with their children. And that's significant for me because I need young people to value cycling and health and wellness so that we turn a tide on these childhood obesities and we can start to get into prevention versus treatment. And so the idea that opportunity for babies, for young people to be on the trail and in those baby carriages was gone. But you got to know that I started Conky Cruisers with no bikes. So the idea that the bikes were gone was not as painful as the idea that I live in a community where the poverty rate is so high, where the high school dropout rate is so high that young people have to make the choice that they will rob and they will steal for economic gain versus going to school or getting a job. Mm. That's the pain. That was the tears. But it was 16 days before the start of our season. I said, okay, this is the final minutes of the NBA champion. Pass Bowick the ball. I got this.
So you lost 150 bikes. Mm-hmm. What happened next? Then? Investigation, police helping you out? What happened?
The investigation started. They did identify a young man who was a former member of Conky Cruisers. That hurt in many, many ways, but I did reach out to him and his family and let him know that my heart was still open to him. Conky Cruisers was still open to him, and I felt that keeping him close and a part of would be better than distancing myself away from him. Yes, there is consequences that he needs to face. There needs to be a form of restitution, but at the end of the day, if you're walking down the street holding hands with your baby and a wolf attacks, you don't let go. You hold tighter.
I think that is so admirable because, you know, you think about this person who is responsible. Something in that person's life happened.
Absolutely.
To spark this, right?
Absolutely. And I know that.
Yeah, and what you're saying about consequences, there have to be consequences.
Yes.
But if you decide, you know, you've got to deal with the consequences, but we're not going to shut you out.
Yes.
Maybe that person comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that person never steals again.
And that's the hope for me, that he'll come back, that he'll come around, that he knows that he's loved by Conky Cruisers and that that door is open. And so we held a bicycle drive after that. And so the community, oh my goodness, everywhere from as far away as Africa, I got phone calls saying, you know, I used to live in Rochester. I'm now a nurse in Africa. I heard about what happened to you. I'm sending you prayers. So we got prayers. We got bicycles. We got donations. At the end of the day on the first bicycle drive, July 2nd, we looked around and the whole park was covered with 369 bicycles. And we went, okay, what do we do now? We've never had this many.
You went from nothing to more than you ever had.
More than we've ever had. And to date, we have now taken in 480.
Okay. And so the bicycles for the veterans, is that where it comes from?
The bicycles for the veterans is a completely separate pot and separate bicycle drives that was organized by our sponsors. Excellus took up a big cost for this event. St. John Fisher is actually holding a bicycle drive today. The College at Brockport, MCC, Partners of the Americas, and WDKX all came together to make this event happen.
So that event that she's talking about, Conky Cruisers in collaboration with the Veterans Outreach Center, Wheels for Warriors, that's on Saturday.
Yes.
9 to 11 is the event, and it's going to start at the Greater Rochester Vietnam Veterans Memorial, concluding with brunch,
With brunch. A healthy brunch. You won't have to cycle too much, but the food will be good. No gravy, no pork chops, but come on out.
That's on Saturday. Let's get a short break, and we're going to come back and talk to the folks from the Veterans Outreach Center. We're also going to hear from the VA. We're going to talk about other things going on in our community on this Veterans Day. I can't think of a better person to set us all up for that than Teresa Boa. Can you stay for a little while?
I can stay,
I don't want to bog down your whole afternoon, but I don't want you to leave. I'd like to keep talking to you.
Well, thank you. I'll hang out with you guys.
ConkyCruisers.org if you want to see more about the story and even, frankly, even get, you know, sort of reach out and come out for a ride, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Short break. Much more with them next. Coming up in our second hour, we welcome Josh and Jenna Miles to the studio. They're the owners of The Revelry, Bronca in Bushnell's Basin, Buffalo Proper, a restaurant there. And they have chosen to start new restaurants in two very significant local projects, Midtown in Rochester and Pinnacle North in Canandaigua. Why did they decide to get in first? They'll tell us next hour. Welcome back to Connections. Danielle on Twitter says, how cool is Conky Cruisers and Nurse Bowick? That's your Twitter handle, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
Danielle says, getting bikes into the city of Rochester, chatting now with Evan Dawson. Danielle listening online. We've gotten a number of comments as well. On Twitter, it's at Evan Dawson, or producer Megan Mack is on Twitter at mmackmedia if you want to communicate with us there. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to comment about what you just heard or if you want to talk about various issues related to our veterans community. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Friend Adam says, can't call. Give Teresa a hug for me. What an amazing story. So you're touching a lot of people with this story. So really neat stuff. Teresa Boak's here. She is the cruise captain of Conky Cruisers and really the creator after her remarkable story that she shared going back to 2012. Also here with us is Ellen Baker, who is a geriatric social worker for the VA, going to tell us about another event coming up. Ellen, it's nice to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And Jocene Henderson is with the Veterans Outreach Center, the director of operations there. Jocene, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, you were smiling just about that whole story, and I know you know Teresa. What an amazing person, huh?
Teresa is amazing, and so is Mr. Harris. But, I mean, this is just another great example of the outpouring of support today, Veterans Day, you know, that this community has for our veterans and all the collaborations that make serving our veterans and their families, you know, successful. So thank you, Teresa.
Well, I'm the son of a veteran, and I'm proud of the work that gets done in this community. I shared with our guests before this hour began that, you know, we've heard from a number of people who have essentially expressed the sentiment that says, I'm a veteran, and I have thought about leaving Rochester, but I don't want to leave because of the number of services available. And that's not true everywhere. That doesn't mean it's perfect, Jocene, but I imagine you've heard that kind of sentiment as well, have you?
We have, Evan. In fact, there are over 46,000 veteran service organizations in the country. And so we're just one of that 46,000. But, you know, folks will find us on the internet and call from all over the country. We've even received some calls from overseas, you know, from veterans who are ready to transition. And they believe that there's a Veterans Outreach Center in their community. So they're sad to learn that there's not one of us in every community. But we're able to still assist remotely, you know, connecting veterans to hopefully services in their organization through the VA or the Legion or the VFW or some other well-known veteran service organization. But as far as a small nonprofit like Veterans Outreach Center, they're pretty much, you know, few and far between. We've been here for over 42 years. Folks are still learning about us. Every year we, you know, we look to improve our service delivery to the veterans and the families. And this year, this past year, we've really focused on employment and training. You know, we work with the Finger Lakes Regional Economic Development Council. So we've identified that there is a middle skills gap. And we know that in this region, in the Finger Lakes region, the average middle skill salary is $44,000. So we're really, you know, working with employers and looking at the skill sets that our returning service members are coming to us with and trying to match those up. If we identify any gaps in the skills needed for these jobs, then we look at our training schedule and we work with folks in the community to create new learning opportunities. So one of the newest programs that we offer is security guard training. So we offer security guard training, both unarmed and armed. And, you know, when a veteran completes that training, we're able to provide their background check, pay for their fingerprints, and connect them to dozens of employers ready to hire security guards. So of the 10 that we recently graduated, I believe 9 are already employed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so, great placement.
So that's one example. We also started a culinary program this year, and that was in partnership with SUNY Brockport's REOC and also our Office of Adult and Continuing Education here in Rochester, OASIS, and very strong support from Wegmans. And so what that looks like is, and culinary is one of the middle skills that we're targeting, you know, a veteran can complete the training, and upon graduation, we provide them with a chef hat and 3 sets of chef coats and the trousers and the cookbook and everything to help them start their culinary career, you know, and help them be successful.
Just a couple of the things going on with Veterans Outreach Center, and I can completely relate to the idea that if you went to another city, you would assume there would be a Veterans Outreach Center. I think when I first heard the term, I wondered, is it a national organization? Does every city have one of those, et cetera? Mm-hmm. And so some people are going to go elsewhere and wish they had it. Others are still sort of learning what's available in this community, particularly younger veterans, families of veterans now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, Teresa Boak, how did you get hooked up with Veterans Outreach for the event that Conky Cruisers is doing?
It was through Rudolph Harris, our co-captain. He was affiliated with Veterans Outreach as a veteran, and so he said, this would be a great place. I already know people down there. Let's go down there and see how we can make this happen. So it was a connection that he had already made and had some positive response and outcomes from his relationship with the Veterans Outreach Center.
And I love this idea of giving bicycles because, I'm going to be honest here, it reminds people like me in the media that sometimes when we talk about veterans, we talk about veterans in a way that implies that all of them need some sort of really grave service. And we know that many do, that many need help with PTSD. And in a moment, I want to talk about mental health and the way veterans age and the fact that sometimes we don't treat mental health, as if it's this other thing. But at the same time, you know, Josine, I think it's important to realize veterans are diverse and veterans have diverse backgrounds and needs and wants and skills, right?
Correct. Mr. Harris, who's sitting in the room, he's a veteran. I'm a veteran. You don't always recognize a veteran when you walk down the street. And when we depart from the military, we all have different skills and we all have different needs. So at Veterans Outreach Center, we have developed our supportive services, hopefully to address those needs. So, for example, in addition to our employment and training, which is the number one reason that veterans seek our services, we also have a wellness program. So in our wellness program, besides, you know, case management of the supportive services, we're offering alternatives to traditional therapies. So we have art therapy, both individual and group art therapy, and we recently began a yoga program. So individual yoga sessions and group yoga sessions, and these are open to the veterans and their family members. We have children that participate. So we're looking, you know, we're always reevaluating the needs of the veterans and then trying to develop and design our supportive services to meet those needs.
Let me bring in Ellen Baker to the conversation, who is a geriatric social worker for the VA. You work out of where, Ellen?
Right now I'm out of the Canandaigua VA.
Okay, Canandaigua VA. And how have we seen needs change or not over the years for some of the work that you're doing, for example?
Well, you know, there's a wide range when we talk about veterans. It could be someone just coming back who's very young, has a young family, all the way up to the World War II veteran who is aging and needs services in the home. So I think part of what the VA is trying to do is come up with a variety of services to meet this large range, you know, of veterans out there. And I think there are innovations in programming that are coming up, talking about mental health services, caregiver services, but also partnering with organizations like the Veterans Outreach Center to do those complementary services that the Department of Veterans Affairs doesn't do. But getting veterans to those services is part of what I try to do as a social worker.
I was going to ask, as a geriatric social worker, what's the core of your mission, your work?
That's a great question. My goal is to keep that older veteran safe and healthy in whatever environment is best, whether that's at home and sending in a home health aide or referring them to an adult daycare program, or whether that's helping them find another living environment. And by doing that, I have to incorporate a lot of different services, what the VA can offer in terms of concrete services, financial benefits that the veteran may qualify for through the VA, financial benefits they may qualify for outside of the VA in terms of Social Security or other kinds of benefits through even the county. But then also community services, transportation services, volunteer programs, various things. So it's my goal to help support them as they are aging and also to support their caregivers who are, you know, taking the brunt of the caregiving needs.
Are we funded well enough for VA needs in this country?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not sure I can completely answer that, but to say that the needs are only getting greater and greater, especially with the aging World War II population, that's one thing, but the Vietnam veterans are getting older as well, and that's kind of that age wave that they keep talking about is that that's where that generation is, and so there are going to be many, many people in that age who are retiring, including the Vietnam veterans, and they're going to need a lot of services and care, so we definitely have to prepare for that.
I heard from a listener named Todd on Twitter who is saying, essentially, he thinks the reason that some young people, might not want to join the military is because they see, in some parts of our country, lackluster services for veterans, and that one of the best recruiting tools we can have are strong services and a following through on a commitment to take care of veterans when they're not serving anymore. Do you agree with that?
I completely agree with that. And I think there is a negative view by some of the VA that I really think many are trying to change. And I don't want that to be deterrent to anyone. We want every veteran to come to the VA who needs help. And we do that through a variety of ways, whether it's the vet center that may be more appealing to a veteran versus coming to a big, gigantic VA. We have smaller clinics. So I do hear what this person is saying is there are stories out there of not getting great care. But I hear every day from people that say, you know what, I'm getting great care here. Thank you for what you're doing. All the people I've worked with are in the right place, and they're doing this for the right reasons, and thank you for that.
Yeah, it's great to hear that. Josina, what do you make of Todd's comment about a recruiting tool, making sure they know that they're going to be honored and appreciated?
That is a good point. In fact, Veterans Outreach Center has partnered with the Rochester Police Department and the Transition Assistant Team at Fort Drum. Recently, we visited and worked out a way that the police, the civil service exam for the police officers could be administered in advance of a soldier leaving active duty. The transition assistance teams work, they identify soldiers that are departing up to 2 years prior to the end of their enlistment. And so that is an opportunity for us to be able to reach wherever it is, not just Fort Drum, but wherever these service members are departing, to be able to, inform them of the services available in their community, in our community. And so we're looking at other opportunities to be able to do that as well.
Scott on Twitter says, Evan, the Veterans Outreach Center of Rochester saves lives. Thank you for serving those who served. Hashtag HUA. And Jenna says Syracuse doesn't even have one. Is that correct, Josie?
That's correct.
Jenna says Syracuse doesn't even have one. When my brother came home, I called Todd Baxter and the Veterans Outreach Center just for help with simple resume writing. Finding a job can be hard.
It is, and we're fortunate because we have a team of over 400 volunteers, and many of those volunteers work with us every day, greeting veterans as they walk through the door, providing rides if they need transportation to appointments, and several who are retired military have volunteered to help translate our veterans' military transcripts into civilian resumes to, just to help improve their success at getting a job. So that's a wonderful, service that we have here that is not offered all over the country.
And an email from a listener named Dave said, thank you for mentioning mental health. I just want to briefly mention this because we've talked on this program recently about it. We heard it mentioned in the Republican presidential debate last night, this question on mental health and are we treating it appropriately? Are we treating it like health as opposed to separating it? Teresa, even you're a nurse, right? I mean, you want to weigh in on mental health?
I am a nurse, and in this country, we do not treat mental health in the same way we treat physical health. And that is something that there's a number of efforts to change that. In this nation and really around the world, we need parity when it comes to mental health and physical health. We still have a lot of stigma. We still find it very difficult to even embrace someone once they've said they have a mental illness. So there's lots and lots of work to be done on many, many levels. But starting with the healthcare community, we have to start there. And we need parity. We need the same type of benefits. We need the same response to mental health as to physical health. Somebody comes in and say they have diabetes. We don't have any issues with making sure that they have their insulin, making sure they have metformin, that they're eating right. Same person presents with schizophrenia, and we all want to run out the door. A lot of it has to do with fear and education, lack of education.
And now imagine you're a veteran, and unemployment rates are can be higher in the veterans community, especially for younger veterans. Mm-hmm. Imagine you're dealing with, or you don't know if you have PTSD, you don't have a diagnosis yet, you're working on these things, you're worried about stigma. Let me ask our other guest as well, Jocene, are we treating mental health, are we doing a better job now? I mean, how do you see that trending?
I think we are doing a better job. I can speak for Veterans Outreach Center in that for the last year, our entire staff and some of our volunteers have been involved in trauma-informed care training. And that is, an approach to address veterans who may or may not be demonstrating behaviors of, mental illness. Or any kind of anxiety. So we have a focus on trauma-informed service delivery. We work very closely with our partners at the VA. And, over 35% of our staff are veterans themselves. So that helps, develop a trusting relationship. And we know that 45% of our referrals come from the VA. And the rest of our referrals mostly come from other veterans. So veterans trust us, and they're referring their battle buddies to us, and we're doing everything we can to provide those services they need.
Ellen Baker, how would you answer that question?
I agree as well. I think it is improving the access and education to mental health services. At the VA, there are a variety of mental health professionals that are available to help veterans, from substance abuse to PTSD. Like, staff who is specifically trained, that is their full-time job, is to counsel those that have PTSD. And there are different, treatment modalities even within that role as a, PTSD counselor or social worker. And then we have kind of, your psychologists, psychiatrist as well through the Veterans Health Administration, meaning the Canandaigua VA, the Rochester Outpatient Clinic. But then we also have the Vet Center, which I referenced before, which is part of the VA, but it's separate from the Health Administration. And a veteran can go there, and it's not as intimidating. It's a smaller setting. It is, it was started by a Vietnam veteran who didn't really want to go to a large VA to deal with their mental health issues. And then this grew out of that. And so the Vet Center is in Rochester as well. And someone can go there to get couples counseling, treatment themselves for, combat-related PTSD, things like that. And we also have a mobile vet center that is starting to travel around to reach veterans in more rural areas, as well as telehealth mental services, so we can do it like via a computer screen or TV screen to a veteran that may not be able to get out. There are those services also that the VA is providing.
Yeah, that's great. We've been talking about various issues related to our veterans this hour. We've been talking about some of the events coming up. Well, first of all, it's Veterans Day, and Jocene, I imagine Todd Baxter is out at various events across our community today. Busy day for him and you and the Veterans Outreach Center. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this event that Conkey Cruisers is doing on Saturday. I want to let you know, our listeners know, WXXI.org/veterans. It's Veterans Connections, and we're helping bridge military and veteran needs with community support and awareness. We've had such great support from our community, the Veterans Outreach Center, and so many others. And if you go there now, WXXI.org/veterans, you get a chance to see a number of different programs and features from just the voices of our veterans, and they're telling their own stories to connecting to services. So that's there. And then also coming up on the 13th of November, let's see here, that would be on Friday?
Friday.
Thank you, Ellen. Doing the math there. Today is the 11th, isn't it?
Yes.
You're not only celebrating veterans, but caregivers as well. What's coming up?
Yes. Well, November is National Caregiver Month, and so the VA always celebrates that with extra events. But to back up a little bit, the VA has a national caregiver support program that started back in 2011 after Congress passed a law creating a program offering services for caregivers of veterans. So we have a support program for caregivers of kind of caregivers of a veteran of any era. Again, the newly returning all the way up, you know, to the World War II veterans. And this event on Friday is kind of like a big culmination of some of these. So we have a caregiver event. We partner with St. Anne's. And so we're having an event this Friday in the afternoon. It's basically a day of pampering. So caregivers can come to this event, have lunch. Going to have some massage therapists for some chair massages. There'll be yoga and some meditation, crafts, and then a few vendors as well that can educate our caregivers on what's available in the community. And that's just our way of thanking and honoring those caregivers, but also giving them a break because many of them do not take care of themselves and have their own health issues, own mental health issues, and just crazy stress. So this is a way to try to help them.
It's Friday, 12:30 to 3:30 at St. Anne's Community at Cherry Ridge. And by the way, that's right across from Webster Schrader High School. How do you, our listeners might be thinking, well, how do you qualify as a caregiver? I'd love to show up on Friday, but what do I need to, you know, make sure that I'm qualify?
Well, for this particular event, you know, it's put on by the Department of Veterans Affairs, but we also partnered with Lifespan to get the word out a little bit and opened it to caregivers, not necessarily of veterans, but just caregivers in general. To define a caregiver, it could be a huge definition, but basically anyone who's caring for someone else and is bearing that burden of their daily care, whether that's physical, emotional, or mental. You know, caregiver can cover a lot of different things. For this particular event, because it's so close, you know, we only really have a few slots left.
Okay.
And we do have our local caregiver support coordinator, Colleen Cohen, who is in charge of the event. And if there are any spots left, she may be contacted for that.
Okay. So, and contact her through?
Contact her through the VA. So she has...
You're going to need like a second event now, you realize. But go ahead.
We needed to do this a month ago to spread the word. But Colleen can be contacted via phone or email. So if you have any questions, her number is 585-393-7525. Or the email is colleen.cohen@va.gov.
Okay, got a few minutes left here. John wanted to email the program and wanted to know if, going back to an earlier part of the conversation, John wanted to know if Conky Cruisers does like weekly scheduled rides and how they get involved. So if you missed it earlier, Teresa Bowick's here. Conky Cruisers is doing an event for veterans on Saturday. They're donating 50 bicycles for veterans. They're making brunch. They're doing something really great for our community. And they've been doing something for our community for 3 years. John just emailed the program and wanted to know, do you do weekly rides? He missed any of that. So.
In the midst, what we're doing now is we're training for the Tour de Cure 2016, and we're meeting once a week, Wednesday nights, at Exercise Express, 232 South Plymouth Avenue. It's in Cornhill. That's where you'll find the Conky Cruisers and our Tour de Cure team meeting now until we can get back on the pavement when it's warmer outside. And this coming Saturday, we'll be celebrating our veterans. And in addition to the things that we talked about in regards to presenting the bicycles, we're also donating to Richard's House, where we're holding the brunch, a bicycle library. And what that is we're providing 5 children's bicycles that will stay at the house so that when the veterans' children visit them there, they'll have bicycles to ride. And in conjunction with Partners of the Americas, there'll also be a library. There'll be books for kids to read. And I've requested Dr. Seuss because he's my favorite doctor in the whole wide world.
Says a nurse. Says a nurse. ConkyCruisers.org for more information there. Veterans Outreach Center has to be online, I'm sure, Josine. Where are you online?
Oh, we are. It's a long one. VeteransOutreachCenter.org.
Oh, very piece of cake there.
There you go.
And I just want to remind the listeners again that WXXI is proud of Veterans Connections on our interactive site, WXXI.org/veterans, and you'll find a lot more there. So we hope we've given you a lot to think about this hour, and just want to thank the guests who've taken the time to come in on this very busy day. Teresa Boak, we'll do it again, the cruise captain of Conkey Cruisers. Congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you.
Thanks for helping our veterans community, and thanks for sharing your story this hour.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. Jocene Henderson, the Veterans Outreach Center Director of Operations. Again, I don't know if it's the busiest day of the year for you, but it's up there.
Well, no. Thank you, Evan.
Thank you for taking the time. And Ellen Baker is a geriatric social worker for the VA, not only working on putting on this event for caregivers on Friday, but helping our community every single day. And Ellen, busy with your time as well. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Short break and much more connections straight ahead right here.